Welcome to the Way of Success. Pastor Banky is teaching the principles of life established in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, whose kingdom indeed reigns over all. Relax and listen, and you'll be blessed by this message.
Last week, I began to speak about the subject I titled Breaking the Curses in Your Life. And amongst the points that I made then, I would like to review a number of them. Number one, we said that anytime God begins to do something, he empowers that thing to succeed, or the people involved, he empowers them to be productive and to bring results. And that's what he called blessing. And we took example from Genesis chapter 1, where God, after making everything, blessed them by saying, be fruitful and multiply. Remember, a blessing is an invisible force within and around you that enables you to perform your function appropriately and that helps you to succeed in life. We said anytime God plants that blessing, or anytime God plants anything good into a situation, there is an adversary called Satan, the devil, who tries to turn the good into evil. What he tries to do is to entice people to offend God and to disobey the order of God. Because anytime you disobey God's order, what you have bought for yourself is a curse. I hope you remember that. Now, we said that the number of points that we need to understand about curses. I said number one, there is always a cause for every curse. That is, if a curse is placed or is evident in a place, there is a reason why it came to be. That does not just happen. We read from Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2, that the Bible says that just like the swallow in his flying, that is the bird, so is a curse that does not have a cause that it cannot alight. And New Living Translation says that if a curse is unfair, it will not land on its intended victim. So we said that every curse that has effect, therefore, that was the second point I made, requires the person's cooperation. And we said that there is a solution that God has prepared. Whether you have cooperated with curses in the past or the curses are generational, the truth is that there is a solution which God has prepared, which is the blood of Jesus. That anyone who believes in the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus said, has passed out from under the effect of the curse into the effect of the blessing. And I made that point quoting from John chapter 5 verse 24, that he has passed away from death into life. Now, there was something I emphasized very strongly then, which I want to say again, and that's the issue of generational curses, because it's a very popular topic that people like to discuss. I said, indeed, there are generational curses. What does that mean? It means that if your ancestors did something, now listen to this, and I think I should kick off from there. If your ancestors did something in the past that initiated a spirit of death into the air, that is a spirit of frustration, a spirit of working without getting results, that causes the land to be barren, that causes people not to be fruitful in their lives, if they have done something to bring that into pass, the effect remains around, floating in the air, and affects everybody who is a descendant of those people, now notice this, and who have cooperated in his heart with the deeds of the ancestors. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That is, it does not have to be physically present. All he needs to do is to agree in his heart that this thing is right, this thing is good. And once he does that, in his heart, he has tapped into that curse. We explained by reading from Luke chapter 11 that Jesus said that there is a curse that has come upon Jerusalem, and it began when Cain killed Abel. He said, but for the manifestation to be felt in that generation, God said, I will give them the opportunity to either agree with the deeds of the ancestors or disagree with it. How will I do that? I will send people into their midst, and if they killed any one of my prophets and my apostles or persecute them, then I know that they are exactly like their fathers in their hearts. Therefore, the curse will come upon them. I said that if you realize as a believer in Christ Jesus, and this is the defense against every curse in life, whether you know about it or not. Once you are a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says that you have been born not of the will of man, but that you have been born of the Spirit of God. Are you getting the point? Therefore, your ancestor, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, has never sinned. All you can agree with is the faith of Jesus. And once you have faith in Jesus Christ, once you believe in God, the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, he said you have stepped into what we generally call Abraham's blessing. Are you getting the point? That is, though the land was cursed, the fact that Abraham was obeying God sent him into a realm of blessing. Are you getting the point? All right. Now, we explained all of these things, and I just felt like it is good for us to quickly look at them again. Now, having said all of that, I want to kick off today by examining one of the points I made last time in further details, and that is a point about a curse always coming as a result of the deeds of people's hands. That is, it's human beings that initiate curses in their lives. I want to explain something here. The underlying principle that brings forth blessing in life is obedience to the word of God. Now, whether we like it or not, God created this life, and he has placed things in order and has given us patterns to follow in operating within the realm that he has created. Anytime we disobey that pattern, we have stepped out of his blessing, and automatically you step into a curse, and that's just the way it works. But there are specific things that I would like to point out that people do that bring forth curses upon them. It's very important. You will notice that I have explained something that your faith in Christ Jesus, your faith in God has delivered you from every ancestral curse. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And that your deeds, which are the manifestations of your faith, once they are not in agreement with the deeds of your fathers, of your so-called ancestors, you have been delivered from their curse. It doesn't matter that you have come from a particular place. Now, let me just emphasize that again. That's why Paul said, henceforth we know no man after the place where he has come from. He said, if any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things have passed away. Every curse of the ancestors, they have passed away. He has now been energized and given the ability to succeed in business. He has been energized and given the ability to succeed in academics. He has been energized and given the ability to succeed in everything that he might place his hands upon to do in this life. I hope you get the point. Now listen, the forces of evil that try to prevent you from succeeding cannot work in your life if you are of faith in Christ Jesus. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make. Now, but what are the things that people do that bring curses upon them? Now, there is something I like about the Word of God, that is the Holy Bible. The things therein were recorded for our learning. And I want you to notice something. By opening your Bibles, if you have it, to 2 Kings chapter 5. The story I'm referring to is the story of the healing of Naaman, the Syrian general that was sent to Elisha. We know that after Naaman was healed by obeying the words of Elisha, he brought goods to Elisha, and Elisha refused to accept them. Gehazi, the prophet's servant, because of his covetousness, decided to pursue after Naaman so as to receive from his hands the things that his master had refused to collect. Now, this is the point I want you to understand. When he came back and his master discovered what he had done, he told him in verse 27, he said, therefore the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. So he went from his presence a leper as white as snow. Now this is one thing I wanted to understand. Notice that he said, the leprosy of Naaman shall cling to you and to your descendants forever. What are descendants? There are two kinds of descendants. There are natural descendants and there are spiritual descendants. And the one that is most important are the spiritual descendants. Now, there is a leprosy that is hanging in the air. Let me explain that again. Every curse like this that is released hangs in the air, waiting for somebody to become a descendant of Gehazi so as to collect it. This man went to lie and obtained money by false pretenses. Is that sounding very familiar to you? It's very common in Nigeria right now. People obtaining money by false pretenses. What the Bible is saying here is that if you are one of these, you are a descendant of Gehazi. And there is this leprosy that is hanging out in the air, waiting to come upon you. There was something I said last time, and I would like to reiterate it again. That is, there is seed time and there is a season of harvest. That the curses of life are bought by people. And the time they are making payments so as to procure their curses is what we call seed time. That is, they are doing certain things. Harvest time is when those curses now take effect in their lives and begin to manifest. That there is always a season in which what you did to make a gain appears to be good because the repercussions don't come quickly. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? God said it like this. If you read Psalm 50, it said, because I did not say anything on time, you thought I was in agreement with what you are doing. That is, you have stolen by false pretenses and I have not thrown the leprosy down on you. So you think it is okay. He said, what you seem to have forgotten is that there is always a season in which I allow your seed to germinate and to bring forth fruit. And that when the season of reaping comes, what you sow will be small compared to what you are going to reap. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, what Naaman gave to Gehazi was small. He had some clothes, some money to beautify him for a season. But the leprosy was going to mar him for life. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is, the young women that go around sleeping with one man and the other because they want to get money, which will last for a short season. We get HIV/AIDS, which will last them till death. You are getting what I'm trying to say. It is the principle of seed time and harvest in life. If you sow a seed, it will produce results for you, but that result will not come quickly. Now, let me get back to the main thing I'm saying. That is the issue of this Gehazi and the leprosy of Naaman. Naaman has shed his leprosy. The curse has been placed upon the house of Gehazi. And I'm emphasizing to you again that you do not have to have the name of your father as Gehazi or your great-great-grandfather as Gehazi for you to be a descendant of Gehazi. The descendant of Gehazi is anybody that does the works of Gehazi. Are you getting the point I'm trying to make? There was something that the Bible says about Abraham. He said that Abraham is our father, that is, those who are of faith. Now, we are not from Israel. We are not from anywhere near where Abraham lived. But he said the seed of Abraham are those who are of faith. Spiritual seed. And they are the ones that tap into the blessing of Abraham. Are you getting what I'm trying to say here? I'm focusing on the descendants of Gehazi. People, you know, very, very common in this our environment. Young men do nothing but send mails all over the world trying to obtain money by false pretenses. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? That what God is saying to them, when you have obtained those goods, you have inherited the leprosy of Naaman, which has been donated to the household of Gehazi. You have become one of the sons of Gehazi. Let me say this because it's a very important warning. The judgment of God dwells in the house of the wicked. It dwells in the house of the thief. The thing that you got today to beautify yourself, the car you bought with stolen money, which you obtained by false pretenses, will beautify you for a season. But the leprosy that God will baptize you with will stay with you for life. Are you getting my point? I said something before that curses are bought with people's deeds. A man rises up in the morning because he wants to make money. He goes to buy a gun and will lays another man on the road. You have to understand, the Bible says there are seven things that are abominations to the Lord. One of them, he said, is the heart that devises wicked plans. Listen, it is irrelevant whether the police catches you or not. There is a curse that will abide on your house forever. One day somebody was telling me about a young man who did a lot of 419 and made a lot of money. Now how he's helping his father and he's helping his sister. I laughed. I said, you don't seem to get the point. They know he's a crook. All of them are tapping into the curse this young man has brought into their home. His father would have done well to have excommunicated him. What he would have done in effect is to deliver the rest of their family from the cause that this young man is pursuing vigorously after. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. You cannot settle down and eat the products of unrighteousness and think you will just go scot-free. It doesn't happen like that. Things that people do to bring curses upon themselves, that is what I am talking about. If you are an obtainer by false pretenses, you are a descendant of Gehazi. The leprosy of Naaman is your portion. What is the leprosy of Naaman? Let me explain in practical terms. In another 15 years' time, you will be a very poor man. Where you used to drive cars through before, you will trek and nobody will give you a lift. You will look for food to eat. You will not get it. And people will know. They will use you to tell stories to their children. He says, see that man when I was young. He used to drive a very big Jeep. He had many Mercedes-Benz cars. We knew then that he was just obtaining money by false pretenses. Look at the leprosy upon him now. He cannot eat properly. He doesn't have a decent house to stay. They will tell their children, don't ever be like him. Don't lie to collect from anybody. Are you getting my point? That is what is called the leprosy of Naaman. Don't forget these things that we are saying. We are talking about the way of success. That success in life
is spontaneous and is automatic if you do the right things. That the pursuit of success is not really what brings success to you. It is the doing of the right things in life. Success is a reward. Victory is a reward. Prosperity is a reward. God, the Bible said, is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, he said, God will bring all your deeds to judgment. If they are good, you will receive good. If they are evil, then you have obtained a load of curses. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. There is another story I would like to tell just to emphasize this issue of how people buy curses for themselves. It's in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Now, if you read the whole of the preceding chapters in 1 Samuel, you will read the story about how God brought Samuel to the life of Hannah. But my story is coming from the life of Eli, the high priest, and his sons. Now, he had two sons, as we all know, Hophni and Phinehas. And Hophni and Phinehas were two reckless young men that did not have any regard for God. Now, how did they live their lives? They disregarded the sacrifices of God. God had given them principles by which these sacrifices should be done. The priest was allowed to eat most of the sacrifices, but they were to allow the people burn out certain parts of the sacrifices first. Only after some preparations have been done that they would take their portion. But these young men wouldn't allow that. They will come and take the sacrifices that the people have brought before God, and they will take it from them by force. And they used to have unlawful sexual relationships with the women who served in the temple. Now, if you read 1 Samuel chapter 3, when God was speaking to Samuel, God says something about the sons of Eli. He said in verse 12, he said, in that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. In verse 13, he says, for I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves and he did not rebuke them. Now, my emphasis again is that word. They brought a curse on themselves. Elsewhere, God will tell you that God can deliver your sons to the power of their iniquity. I'm bringing out the point here. There is iniquity that these young men committed that brought a curse upon them. Now, notice these things that I'm saying. A lot of times people do things and they think that these things don't have repercussions. Don't forget what I said earlier. There is a seed time and there is harvest. A 50-year-old man who is plagued by bad luck, which we have identified as actually a spiritual force, which is called a curse. The 50-year-old man will be thinking about what he did wrong in the last few years. God is saying, in reality, today what is following you was a seed that you sowed when you were 25. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? Now, notice this. He said these young boys, by their actions, invoked a curse on themselves. Nobody cursed them. Notice this. Nobody spoke harshly to them. In fact, their father did not rebuke them. But God said something. They have brought a curse upon themselves. How did they do it? In a simple word, it is called greed. Do you understand what I'm going to say? They did not respect holy things and they were greedy. Now, that is one thing you find around a lot these days. And I want to bring this out again. When people are doing business, there is something that they don't seem to understand. That a man is not rewarded with wealth for being very shrewd in doing business. A man is not rewarded with wealth for defrauding as many people as possible without being caught. A man is rewarded with wealth for the integrity with which he did his business. Are you following my point? You go to the market, you want to buy something. A man will swear to you that this thing is real. He knows he's lying. All he wants is the money you will pay. Listen to me, if you're a trader, if you're a businessman, once they give you that money, you have bought a course for yourself. That is why these people don't do well. You see a man, he has a shop today. He doesn't cross his mind that the reason why he is still in that same shop after 15 years is because God has not shown down blessing upon him. He doesn't think so. He thinks he's just unlucky. But we have identified that bad luck is a colloquial expression for the judgment or the wrath of God. How does it come? The man takes what does not belong to him. There's something that's very common. People buy fuel in filling station. The people rig their pumps. Instead of delivering to you 20 liters, they deliver to you 15. I said to people, if I buy fuel from there, I have judged you without saying anything. Do you know why? Because I am a child of God, I am a servant of God. And for you to defraud me, you have taken of the Lord's sacrifices. And what you have done is to invoke a curse upon yourself. Righteous people, listen to this. Sometimes when you are dealt with unjustly, when God permits you to be cheated, it is because God, like he said, is waiting for the iniquity of the Amorites to be full so that he can bring judgment upon them. He knows that it is the money they take from you, his righteous servant, that he sees as his sacrifices. I hope you are getting the point I need to make. And for the sons of Eli, for the Hophnis and Phinehas of this generation to take the sacrifice of God, they have invoked a curse upon themselves. Listen, this is a fact. Big men will crumble because they cheated a small man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? I'm emphasizing something to you here. A curse is not just something that your great-great-grandfather did and he left in your village and it is still affecting you. I explained to you before, if you do not put a heart into agreeing with the deeds of your great-great-grandfather, his curse has no effect in your life. The main thing that is plaguing you today are the ones that you bought with your own hands. Are you getting my point? Let me tell you something. If you are going into business as a young man, listen, wealth, prosperity, increase is a reward that God gives for integrity. Do you get my point? It is not the reward that you get for being shrewd and being crafty. What will happen to you if you're a crafty person is that you will never increase. You will have, like Gehazi, gotten beautification for a moment and then be stained with leprosy for life. Like the sons of Eli, in one day, everything you've invested in will collapse. I am warning you. Now, this is the beauty of God. Before he brings judgment, he gives you opportunity for repentance. Now that I've spoken about the word repentance, it will be a good time for me to explain another point. Again, let us look at another story in the scriptures, how judgment came upon a man and how he was supposed to avert that judgment. My story is from the story of Nebuchadnezzar as told by Daniel in Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar dreamt a dream. In that dream, he saw a great tree, and that tree was ordered to be cut down. Daniel explained to him that you, O king, are that great tree. He said, but a decree has been given by the angelic watchers. God has decided that you must be cut down. Now, what do I want us to notice there? Read verse 27. Daniel says something to the king. He said, therefore, O king, may my advice be pleasing to you. Break away now from your sins by doing righteousness and from your iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, in case there may be a prolonging of your prosperity. Daniel was a prophet of God, a man of great understanding. He noticed something, that if God wants to bring judgment and a man is warned ahead of time, there is something he can do to stay the hand of judgment against him. What he's supposed to do is encapsulated in one simple word. It is called repentance. You know something about human beings? They generally are bereft of understanding. They don't know what is going on. Everybody just says what is popular. Whether they understand it or not, they just keep talking. Why am I saying this? What are the problems in the nation? Everybody blames the government. What are the problems in Africa? Everybody blames the white man. What are the problems in their local government? Everybody blames their local government chairman or the governor. But God said one thing which I wanted to understand. He said, those are the cries of proud men. He said, those are the cries that God does not listen to. He said, because men don't ever say, where is God my maker? Where I have quoted is from the book of Job, chapter 35. If you read from verse 10, you will understand what I'm saying. I'm explaining a point here that sometimes people who are crying out to God because of the arm of the oppressor, he says in verse 9, they don't understand that it's the things in their hands. It's the things that they did that has brought judgment upon them. And you have to understand something. An oppressor is powerless except you have been subjected first, spiritually speaking, to oppression. Let me say that again. An oppressor cannot have power over you if your spirit has not yet been brought down into subjection to the spirit of death. That is, it's by your works that you will decide whether you will be oppressed or you'll be free from oppression. If you go and read Isaiah chapter 54, when God was prophesying concerning his servant, he said he will be free from oppression. Why? Because his righteousness is of God. That if a man is subject to oppression, first thing he should do is to cry to God and say, "Where is God my maker? What is it that I have done?" That it is not just the oppressor that is the problem. Are you getting my point? If in your spirit you have been liberated from oppression, if God has forgiven you of your iniquities, he will by himself break the hand of the oppressor without you trying. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say here. We're referring to Nebuchadnezzar. Daniel explained to him that this problem here is your iniquities. That if you come into repentance, you will have delivered yourself from the effect of the curse that is about to come. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You see, I'm explaining about this matter of repentance because I spoke about two groups of people. I talked about the descendants of Gehazi, and I talked about the sons of Eli. The descendants of Gehazi are those who obtain money by false pretenses, and the descendants or the sons of Eli are those who greed has propelled them into disregarding everything that is holy. Those who they have refused to put the lust of their flesh, the lust of their eyes under so as to walk in a manner pleasing to God. Those who will do anything just to get money. Those who are greedy. And the Bible says concerning them, it said there is a man who has an evil eye and is running after wealth but does not understand that it is poverty that will come upon him. How does poverty come? This is how it works. It comes, the Bible says, like an armed man. It takes things from you by force. That is when you say a man is unlucky. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. That is when a man builds a business for 20 years, but the foundation is laid on top of unrighteousness. The foundation is laid in iniquity. Therefore, at the end of 20 years, in one day, just like the sons of Eli, everything crumbles down. Don't forget the prophecy of God to Eli that this is the sign that I am the one judging you. In the same day, two of your sons will die. Are you getting my point? You know what it means? That when the Bible talks about your seed or your sons, there is a way we can apply it. It talks about your fruit in life. That is, if you're a businessman, the business that you built, that's your son. Are you following my point? But it says if you built it because of greed, if you built it in iniquity, in one day it will collapse. Don't ever forget this. Then you will not start running from one place to the other, from one prophet to another. And may God have mercy on those prophets that only see witches. May God have mercy on the pastors that only see demons, who do not ever see the judging hand of God in things, who do not tell men. Because I've seen things like this before. A man is having problems. They will not tell him that you are dishonest. They will not tell him that you lack integrity. They will not tell him that this man, the way you are handling your business is the epitome of indiscipline. Then suddenly they see a witch in the house. It is your wife's mother. It's your auntie. You know your uncle is a member of this particular cult. Listen to me. There is no cult big enough to assail a man who God has blessed. You know, there's one scripture we closed with last time from Psalm 109 in verse 28. David said it like this about people who think that cults are their problem. He said, "Help me, oh my God, save me according to your loving kindness. Let them know that this is your hand. You, Lord, have done it. Let them curse, but you bless. When they arise, they shall be ashamed, but your servants shall be glad." That is the power of God to all of you listening to me who are walking in righteousness. Who people told you that people who have ganged up together against you will cause you to fail. Listen to me. Let them curse, but God will bless you. Don't ever forget. When Balaam stood up and said, "There is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination possible against Israel." You know what was happening? The Israelites were camping like sheep. They were not praying. You have to understand this. But the integrity with which they were walking at that particular point in time compelled the Lord to bless them. It compelled the Lord to force Balaam to bless them. The only time, listen to this, the only time that judgment came upon them was when he counseled Balak to entice the people to sin by introducing Moabite women into the camp. Iniquity is a killer. When we talk about men departing from sin, we are not saying that men should not enjoy themselves. We are saying what you call enjoyment is the reason why you will not live long. We are saying what you call enjoyment is the reason why your business will collapse. We are saying the thing that you call enjoyment is Satan fooling you, looking for how to take you out of the garden of God. I hope you are getting the point I'm trying to make here. Listen, repentance is the key. The past is washed away by the blood of Jesus. Listen, Christianity and faith in Jesus Christ is not about church. It is not about numbering how many people are Christians here. It is about productivity coming into a land. Jesus said something. He said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. You know what it means? I am the economic prosperity of everybody that believes me. You know why? He's the one that took away their sin. He's the one that reverted away their curses. He's the one that nailed every evil force against them to the cross. Only a foolish man will refuse to believe in Jesus. You must be out of your mind to see this amount of grace and favor and you deny it. Listen, the gospel of Jesus is about delivering you from the curses that your ancestors brought into your village when they killed innocent people. Are you getting my point? The gospel of Jesus is to deliver you from those who have ganged up against you. Because listen, Satan can't do anything against you if God is on your side. It is iniquity that takes God away from you. I hope you are getting what I'm trying to say. What have we said today? Listen, don't be a descendant of Gehazi. Do not be the sons of Eli. Walk in integrity and righteousness, and do not use your own hands to procure curses upon yourself. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and everything you've done in the past that has activated both ancestral and present-day curses upon you will be wiped away. I hope you understand that. All right.
The Way of Success is a production of Kingdom Word Ministries, a non-denominational teaching ministry based in Enugu, Nigeria. For more information and for free access to Pastor Banky's audio messages, books and other materials, log on to kingdomword-ng.org. Our mailing address is mails@kingdomword-ng.org or P.O. Box 2273 Enugu, Nigeria. Please join us same time next week for another refreshing time with the Word of God, and have a blessed week.